So welcome, a deep bow to each of you. My name is Anne Marie McKelvey, and Matt, you've got a beard. Like, it looks good. Looks really nice. Yeah. My name is Anne Marie McKelvey, and this is the Mindfulness Coaching Call. Thank you for your patience, understanding about having to reschedule from last week. I've been under the COVID, the brutalness of COVID, since it's been over a month now. And I got it and I didn't realize I had it. And Alex, you were actually in a class, the stretch class, and I had a, I think like 101 fever or something. So anyway, I thought I was gonna be well enough last Monday, and I just, it was like, I can't do this. And so today I'm feeling pretty good, but it's just, it's a process. And that sort of has to do with what we're going to be talking about today. There's a little bit of a tangent here. And so let's just get right back, right into it. Because the topic is why coaching and then how to get started. And I will tell you right away that how to get started takes a lot of persistence. It takes a lot of just, you just do it. You just wake up in the morning and you do your to-do list and you just do it. And you don't think like, am I doing the right thing? How come people aren't, you know, what a bit about, maybe this is about me. You just do it, because eventually you start having a really thriving business. And for those of us who know about commitment, you know that when we're committed to something, it happens. So just a little bit of a spoiler alert. I don't have any magical tips. I do have my wand, and periodically I pretend like there's magic in the universe, which actually I sort of do believe. And I'll just kind of, especially if I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this, I'll just get my wand out and I'm a little girl again, and it's like, I can do this, this is okay. Eventually, I won't have 103 fever. Eventually, I'll be able to not, whatever. So let's get started. First off, for those of you who've taken a class from me, you know that I like lean and lasered and not a lot of narrative, because we all have so much narrative. We have so many stories, and oftentimes within the first two sentences of someone talking, we got it, because we may have experienced the same thing. So we don't have to listen to the whole thing initially with me in class. In coaching, it's a little bit different, but we still use the coaching skill, interrupting and intruding, especially if our client starts to kind of go into a trance. And then she said this, and 15 years ago, she did this, and then he said that, and then as a result, this happened. And it's like, there's no animation in the face. We interrupt and intrude immediately when that happens, because if we don't, we go into trance with them. So please keep it lean and lasered. It doesn't mean that I don't appreciate you all at all. Wait a minute, that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate you. It just means that there's a lot to get through tonight in less than an hour. And I want people to leave taking away some gems that somehow is going to make a difference in their lives. And it may not come from me. It may come from one of you all. But what I do know about gems is that they're usually pithy. They're not long and drawn out. Okay? All right. So why coaching? Why are you here? So in a lean and lasered way, I'd like you to share who you are, what your name is, where you're from, and why coaching? Lean and lasered. For instance, my name's Anne Marie McKelvey. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the reason I'm in coaching is because I felt like it was the best way I could contribute to the world, to help alleviate suffering. Therese.
Good evening, everyone. I am Therese, zooming in from Munster, Indiana. I'm in higher education right now. I had a very I think life-changing, transformative. I'm experienced with a coach, and so I think I want to bring that to my space of professional, where I am working, I should say. And I think it pairs nicely with how I show up, so.
Beautiful, thank you. Thank you. Matt.
Matt Collier here from Norman, Oklahoma. And I want to make a career transition to something that takes advantage of my own abilities. I'm in tech right now, and that's not my highest purpose in the world. And I really enjoy connecting with people. I think coaching is it. I know coaching is it.
Good. Thank you. Thanks, Matt. And Alex. And I believe you, Matt, by the way, because you do your due diligence. You show up. You get through the obstacles. Yeah. And then you fly free. Soar. Alex.
Hello, I'm Alex Pitt. I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, like Anne Marie. And I'm a therapist, and I started dabbling in coaching classes, and it's really breathing new life into my practice. So it feels like a drive, and this is something I want to explore, and I want to grow as a coach and pursue a certification.
Great. Good. Thank you. And I referred somebody over to you last week. I hope he got a hold of you. Yeah. 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 Nora. What a great last name.
Anne Marie, we met a few years ago at Ghost Ranch, if you remember.
Oh my God, I do remember. Oh my, that's why I know. Okay, hi.
Hi.
In Abiquiú, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. I'm transitioning out of 4 decades of very challenging, what I would call process or system levels work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, leading complex processes. I think I want to sink down into something that is more at the human level. I've been receiving your emails for, you know, however long it's been, how many years it's been. And I'm like, I'm going to look at this one of these days. There we go.
I'm glad That's you're fine. Here. I'm yes, glad you're you. Here.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bruce.
Hi, I'm Bruce Scott here in Santa Fe. And I've been a consultant specializing in nonprofit executives for about 9 years. And have in the course of that, I've done a lot of one-on-one work and know that how valuable it is to my clientele and want to develop the skill set.
Great. Good. I'm glad you're here. So we're just doing Santa Fe here today. Thank you. Let's see, Rachel, who's already a day ahead of us. She's the early bird who catches the worm.
Yeah, Tuesday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so definitely catching that worm later than I expected. So I'm Rachel. I'm from Napier in New Zealand, and why coaching? Well, my coaching journey probably started similar to Chatsy in regards to I had a bit of a traumatic event. And got coached by a coach who actually is one of Anne-Marie's first students. So it's sort of come around tenfold. Yeah. And it resonated with who I want to be in the future and really aligned with my credo and where I want to be. So I'm looking forward to embarking on this journey together. Thank you.
Thanks. I'm glad you're here. And Mickey, who also goes by Michelle, right?
Michaela, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. It's close, okay. But no cigar. We meditate in the morning times together.
Yeah. I, similar to Rachel, I had a life-altering experience, not a great one, about 5 years ago. And since then, I've been doing a lot of inner work, digging deep and really figuring out what it means to be my authentic self. Mm-hmm. And I figured out as part of that, that I want to help others figure out how to be their authentic selves as well.
Wonderful. Good. You know, as each of you are sharing, I'm thinking, these are mission statements that you're talking about. So write down, the, you know, these are your own mission statements. And if you've been on our website, which I know many of you have, you'll see our mission statement. And that I've had that for 15 years, same one. And it's just, it keeps me getting out of bed. It keeps me showing up. It gets me a lot of places to have that mission statement. So thank you, Mickey. Sandra.
And I'm almost Canada. I'm New York, almost Canada. Almost Canada.
Thanks.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sandy Wampler, and I'm from McCourtsville, Indiana. Shout out to Charisse up in Munster. So she's up in the region. I'm more close to Indianapolis. And I somewhat fell into coaching. The corporation I worked for had offered a certification, and without really knowing the power behind it, I jumped right in and did it. And I will stay certified as long as I possibly can. I may be 102 by the time I hang it up, but looking forward to continuing learning. And I come from corporate training, so I have done a lot with working with leadership. I've also coached leadership from beginners to executive. And I just find that the feedback I get is how much it helped that person go further faster. So not about me at all, but how can I help someone else be their best selves?
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks, Sandy. So a lot of whys to coaching. And there's, you know, we each have our own signatures to why we want to coach. You know, Bruce shared his about consulting and wanting to go deeper. Alex shared hers about kind of transitioning and adding to an already established profession. Nora wants people, you know, so we all have different ways. I want people. And as a Buddhist chaplain, I really want to help alleviate suffering in the world. When I first became a coach 20 some years ago, credentialed with ICF, the world was a very different place than it is now. Or maybe it was the same place, it's just that veils have been removed since then, and we're seeing things differently. So I think we need to be different coaches, different kinds of coaches now. I think it's imperative. I was at a dinner party last night. It was my first social gathering for almost a month. And I'm very vulnerable. You know, COVID just does a number to the brain chemistry. And I was sitting next to somebody who really just totally went ballistic about the political scene, not just in America, but around the world. And I thought, and I was like, just, whoa. And I had to just downregulate. I had to really take a deep breath, mindfully go all the way down to my toes, exhale all that I didn't want, really know who I was in that moment and not the other person, that that wasn't their energy. And I ended up actually leaving soon after. And, you know, we could say it's because of COVID, it was because it was my first time out, da 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 da. But there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people are having difficult times right now in terms of balancing. So I want to share something with you. I gave a talk at the Chi Center mid-October, I think. My son's had COVID twice since mid-October. And so we've all, both of us have just been really, so please wear your mask and stay in a good air ventilated room with other people, because this particular COVID is nasty. Hey, Cindy Friedman, happy high holidays. Cindy's one of our cantors from Santa Fe. So, one of the things I did at the Chi Center was I put together something that's similar to Bob Dylan. And if you know his YouTube, he has these little placards and then he throws them down and he goes to the next one. So for me, what happens when you're talking about in your mind, how can I get a business going? We have to know what it is about coaching that we want to do. For me, it's about kindness. It's about being direct. It's about being honest. And it's being able to be compassionate and yet stellar in the sense of being in the moment with that person. And that's a lot to do. But the kindness is really an important piece. And so many people these days feel like their toes are being stepped on because they're so vulnerable, like I was yesterday at the dinner. So we have a windy mind. We have a mind that's going fast and it's swirling. And part of that windy mind is a piece of other people, because we're reading up on social media, we're getting our news from lots of different places. But is it news or is it propaganda? And I use that word propaganda seriously. So how do we work with a windy mind? GIGO. Does anybody, Bruce, you may remember GIGO. Or Matt from, no? Garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, Gestalt. And this is Fritz Perls. So if we're putting garbage into our minds, we're going to get garbage out. It just happens. And when we do GIGO over and over and over again, the kindnesses dissipate. Not just towards other people, but towards ourselves. And so we notice, and this is part of mindfulness training. It's part of mind training. We notice, we look at what in our bodies are catching us. We look at where we're upset, how we're reaching out towards other people, and how we're pushing other people away. We notice these things. Now, if I was Bob Dylan, he would just go like this. And we honor what we're noticing. We look at it. You know, Einstein said, what did he say? If you don't know, how can you ask for it? That was an Einstein quote. If you don't know, how can you ask for it? So if you don't know why you're coaching, for instance, why you want to coach, then how can you ask for the kind of coaching and the kind of demographic population to work with? So we need to honor so much. I'll go like this. And when we honor, we connect. There's a connection that happens. We connect with ourselves and we connect with other people. And just, you know, seeing each of you, you know, on camera and you're nodding, or, you know, it's like Bruce is like kind of smiling and look at his twinkles in his eyes, you know? And I mean, it's like we connect. And the connection piece is really an important part. You know, my friend last night who was really having a difficult time had a difficult time all week, and she wanted to connect and yet she wasn't, because she was pushing people away. And some people left, like I did, because I needed to go back to bed and, you know, get over this whole COVID business. But connection is important. Coaching gives us connection. The more connected we are in the world, on earth, the more kindness there is towards ourselves and towards other people. And this gives us meaning. Who's read the book, Man's Search for Meaning? Yeah, it's really a good book. It's because of meaning that we keep moving forward. And that meaning, if we don't have it, it takes us down a rabbit hole. And I like to think of that as nihilistic depression. And we get very self-absorbed. You know, I'm a Jungian through and through. And yet, the individualistic piece of Jungian work, sometimes we don't have enough time to do that. Because the world is going so fast, we need to be able to take a breath, look at the big view, and figure out what we need to do in the details based on what we're seeing. And that has to do with, you know, I suppose we could say the collective unconscious, because that gives us the group temperature, the pulse of the group around the world. So meditation is really an important piece here. Mindfulness is really an important part. So we choose. We choose how we want to interact in the world. We choose how we want to think. We choose who we want to be with, the kindred spirits or not. And we work with it. And then we say yes. And this is my most favorite one, is yes. Because when we say yes to what's happening, it's beyond acceptance. It's beyond surrender. It's saying yes, and it's saying, I'm going to go ahead in my notes here. It's saying just this. It's saying that's what's happening. It's just this. Breathing in just, exhaling this. Breathing in just, exhaling this. Just this. And then we get to get action oriented, which means powering up. And so we take a deep breath and we do what's needed. We don't go into blame and shame. We're not doing yes and no's. We're not doing good and bad. We power up and connect to see what's the next step. And then everything starts to just sort of, no longer is it Velcro in our life. It's like everything is just, it's starting to shift. It may still be difficult, but we can see our way through. Does that make sense to you all? Does that, yeah? And again, we notify ourselves. We get real clear on what it is that we're doing or what we're not doing, how we are out in the world, how we're not out in the world, and what's happening inside ourselves. And then spirit comes in. And we get filled up, and then we go back to connection. So this is like getting us ready. It's priming the pump. Does anybody have a pump, an actual pump that has a handle to it? Or have you ever had one? So you know that you've got to prime the pump before the water actually comes up and out. Yeah? My grandma on the farm had a pump, and you know, it usually was six things, six, and then the water, we got the water. Sometimes that first initial water was too much iron in it. So we had to keep pumping that water, and then the water was good. And that's a metaphor for you all, for each of you, in terms of getting your business going. So I want to stop here before we go further, because there's still quite a bit to do. But does anybody have any questions or any comments? Okay. Nora, how are you doing?
I'm remembering why I really connected with you in the first place a decade ago. I do have, I'm puzzling over, because I'm just stepping into this, the difference in your mind, and you've laid out your approach to coaching, the difference in your mind between coaching and therapy.
Sure, that's a good question. Especially since some of you know that I continue to be a licensed psychotherapist. You know, I tend to go Jungian, but as a coach, I don't do that. So therapy is more about what's happening in your life currently that happened before. So it's back in the past. You know, you're pulling things up and you're looking at it now. Coaching is looking at what you're doing now that you don't want to do anymore, and you want to do something else. And I think I could probably be more eloquent. Let's see, if I was going to be more eloquent, I would say, well, that I have someone who has cancer, and we could right now go into what happened when her mom had cancer and her mom died when she was, I think she was 5, and now she's 47. But we're not going to do that. Because what she wants to do is she wants to have a good death, and she's dying. she's definitely dying. There's not, you know, there's not, this isn't about more treatments. This is about how does she want to die? So that's the, if I was going to take a huge example, a big example to do that, you can coach people through their death. I've done it several times. You can coach people after someone in their lives have passed. And you can also do that in therapy. But the difference is that you don't pull up all the stuff. And if it's needed to pull up all that stuff, then you get a therapist. And you can work tandem with your coach. Does that make sense? I'm getting a little COVID brain fog here, and I apologize. I think I have a better way to do it, but
I think until you're in it more, then I mean, I think there might be a more clarity on where the lines are drawn. But I appreciate that example. Thank you.
Yeah, and the other piece too is that if it's like I feel like, as a licensed psychotherapist and as a credentialed coach, that I can coach people through everything, but I do not coach people around suicide. If they're feeling like they want to suicide, that's like, no, that's a whole other piece. But with coaching, it's about what's happening with them right now and where they want to go. That's pretty much, I think, very succinct and pithy. Yeah. So, Cindy Friedman, it's so good to see you. I can't tell you. I know. Cindy and I have known each other for 30 years. Could it be that long?
That's 20, it'll be 20 years in January.
20 in January, to be specific. Well, good.
As I was thinking about you just recently, and it's 20 years.
Yeah, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you joined. It's because of Cindy we have the Do It Again rate at Mindfulness Coaching School, because she took Stretch, I don't know what, 2 or 3 times or something. And so it was like I couldn't keep taking money from her. We need to do it again rate. Okay, so I want to talk about creating your business. Okay, this is an important piece. And some of you know this, Matt probably has it tattooed on his chest because I've said it so many times. But the why of coaching is important because that gets us up in the morning. It gives us meaning. But how to get your coaching business going is really an important piece. For instance, a lot of people want to get their website up immediately. They want to get a podcast going. They want to get on social media. Don't do that right away. You can if you want. It's up to you. But I'm going to share with you what I've done in the past. And it's simple. So keep it simple. Remember KISS, keep it simple, stupid? Keep it simple. So before you do a website, and before even you get a business card going, change your voicemail. How many people on your voicemail does it say your coaching office? Great, Alex. Anybody else? Okay. So that's real simple, and it's so easy, and you can do it right after the call. You know, this is Anne Marie McKelvey. You've just called my psychotherapy and coaching office. Alex, we could do something like that. You know, it's like if you wanted it, but because you're doing two different jobs, two different professions. But if you're totally doing coaching, this is Bruce Scott. And let's say it is Bruce. You know, you've just called, this is Bruce Scott, and you've just called my consulting and coaching office. Boom, moving forward. And so that's an important piece because people call you. The other part is that, and this might sound silly, but jump over those thoughts that tell you you don't have enough. You don't have enough experience. You don't have enough clients. You don't have enough money. You don't have, you don't have, you don't have. You don't have the personality, you don't have the wherewithal, you don't have the chutzpah, you don't have, you know, jump over those, leapfrog, just poof. And Sandy, would you share with us what you've got? You just put a tip in chat.
Yes. I knew what you meant. Yes. So I learned this from other people, though, because getting a website up is such a commitment, and not that we're not wanting to do that, but it does take a moment. but they use LinkedIn as their website. So they just adjust the headline and things like that with contact information. And I thought, wow, so simple. It's wish so I had simple. Thought of that first.
And that again gets back to just simplify it, get it real simple. Right. Yeah.
And cost effective.
And it's very cost effective. And then that energy that you're putting into putting a website together, which takes a lot of time, as we all know, put it into calling people, you know, engage with people, forget the email, forget the email, the chat, the text, the messaging, call people straight up and say, for instance, this is Rachel Hayward. And I was in your class back in college days, you know, 15. Oh, and you do remember me. Great. So I'm in a coaching school, and one of my internships is 500 hours of coaching clients. And I was just wondering if you have any students that you would think would be deemed coachable and would want to have a coach, because I need those hours. And so as a result, I'm only charging $10 for a half hour, because I want it to be a no-brainer for people to say yes. I want it to be less than a matinee, a popcorn, and a soda. And typically people will say yes to that. $10 is not a lot of money. I agree. But if you put your coaching just for a while more important than your income, you're gonna reap huge rewards. And I'm here to testify that, but I also know of many of our students that have done the same thing, and they're flourishing. And yes, and in the midst of things, you can say to yourself, yeah, but coaches make so much more money, and they do. But right now you're building a practice, you're building a business, and it takes a lot of chutzpah, and it takes a lot of just taking a deep breath and doing it and picking up the phone and saying, hi, this is Anne Marie. Back in the day, back in those Waldorf days, you know, we were but a baha together, and I'm just curious if you know of da 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 da. So you call people, and it makes a difference, because as Steve Jobs would say, engaging face to face is a totally different experience than when you email somebody. And I don't know what the research is on the percentages of people that respond when you're face to face versus an email, but my sense is it's pretty high for face to face. And face to face could be Zoom, face to face could be on the phone, face to face could be going for a walk with someone, whatever. But look at who in your life, in not just this life right now, this segment, but who in your life, this whole life, has been great at networking. Because if you can find someone who's a good networker and they like your coaching, they're going to tell their friends. And that's what happened with me. My first year, I did $10 for a half hour, and it was for 30 minutes, popcorn, matinee, a soda. And I had two people that really liked my coaching. I had other people too, but I had two that really networked me. And at the end of the year, I had a full business going of coaching, and I was not being paid $10 for a half hour after that. It was much more than that. And it was because of these two people, and they didn't know each other, but they told their friends, they told their family. I had cousins and aunts and a great aunt from one family. So, you know, you just talk it. And the other thing that happens too is that you start to have a lot of people, and as we know, word of mouth, like what I just shared, those two networkers, it makes a huge difference. And right now, when trust is so valuable, creating trust with your clients, with your students, with your family, with your best friends, that trust is so important right now, and it's not happening a lot. And so to be able to pick that up and share it is really an important part. So the other piece that I want to recommend too, in terms of how to start your business, is get clear with yourself. Hire coaches that are really good, that have good experience, that aren't out there. Hire different coaches to work with you so that you can find your own signature on how you want to coach. But you'll also it'll also help you determine the kind of people that you want to work with, because we all have kind of specialties. You know, the reason I started mindfulness coaching school is because I wanted to have mindfulness as part of all of my sessions with clients and with groups. And I didn't want to have to explain it. I wanted it to just be, okay, so she has this school called Mindfulness Coaching School. So I guess we're going to study mindfulness. I mean, it's sort of implied, it's implicit. And to be able to do that with people, they're going to understand who you are and what they can expect from you. Does that make sense? So there's a clarity that goes on. What else do I have here? Oh, do a lot of research. Do a lot of books. Read a lot of biographies and autobiographies. You know, the last month, I have been basically in bed with Elon Musk and Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand, with her audio book, has been reading it. And it has been so much fun with her voice. And then she starts riffing off, you know. She's like reading, but then she starts going, this reminds me of, and she just takes off. And then the Elon Musk book on a biography written by Walter Isaacson is so good. He's such a terrific author. And he gives such a wonderful 360 of Elon Musk. So start reading about people that maybe you don't trust, and see how they evolved and who they are in the world, what they brought into the world. Because my hit is that you're going to be able to discover how their experiences can help you in this life right now. And you can start implementing that into your coaching business. Find your style, don't do a podcast, call people. There's another thing too that I had a great conversation with somebody this afternoon who is one of our students, and she was talking about how when she gets clear on what she wants, when she gets very clear on what she wants, she gets committed to it. And as a result, the universe offers it to her. It may not look like she thought it was going to look, but if she says yes to what is being offered, more likely than not, what she wanted transpires. And she was so enthused about it. And just the way she talked it, it was like, yeah, it's like I got that hit. And as coaches, that's what we do. When we take care of our own inner work, and this is an important piece in terms of starting your business, when you take care of your own inner work and you work it and you get clear on what your inner climate changes are, because that's what's happening. You know, we're not separate from Gaia. We are Gaia. We are Earth. And Earth is going through a lot of climate changes, particularly because of what two-leggeds have been doing for quite a long time. But also, what's your inner climate change? What have you been doing? You know, what have you been feeding yourself? What have you been telling yourself? And is it true? How do you know it's true? And if it is true, how can you work with it? So the part that's so important, I think, is to be able to look at what's needed in the world, but also what's needed in your inner world. And to be kind to yourself is so important. Being kind to ourselves is where it starts. So we've got about 20-ish minutes, and I just wanted to there's so much more that I could say, but and share, but I just wanted to hear from you all. How have you started your businesses? What's worked for you? Let me rephrase that. What's the most important thing that you have done in your business to help it flourish? Cindy Friedman, I have known you for a long time, as we've already established. And you, when I first knew you, you were not a cantor. How did you make that happen?
Oh, you know, it's so interesting because in January will be 10 years since my ordination, and I was a student for 7 years. But, you know, I think back, I think it was like the rock bottom time of my life, and I don't know why I thought I could do it. But I just like took these baby steps and
okay, you know, so I'm going to turn this a little bit. So if you do know, if you did know why you did it.
That's so Anne Marie. If you did.
Okay. I just said the other day, it's like, if I did know what I want for breakfast, what would it be?
Like, no, that's so great. So how did you... if I really think about it, I just, like you said, started small. You know, if you were talking about asking for coaching clients at $10 a session, I took 2 classes and made my way, and took 2 more classes and made my way. And, you know, I was working and I was a student and I was in my 50s and all kinds of challenges. I didn't have any money, and it took me years to pay off my student debt and all of those things. But I ended up doing great work that I've really enjoyed all these years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if coaching is next. I keep hanging around the periphery of this.
You keep circling around.
Well, there's a lot of clergy coaching now, so I'm wondering about bringing my two worlds together. We'll see.
Well, one of our instructors, Meg Hass, our trainers, is clergy. Yeah. Yeah. And Phil Jodry, who's still on our staff, but he had an accident about a year and a half ago, and so he hasn't been teaching, unfortunately, but he's also, he was at, what's the famous college in Montreal? It starts with an
M. McAllister? No.
I don't know.
McGill.
Thank you. And he was the head of the Department of Divinity. And so a lot of clergy clergy coaching. But bottom line is, what got you to be a cantor in one pithy sentence? What'd you do, Cindy Friedman?
I followed my heart, and I allowed myself to potentially fail. I became a student, and
you did it. You did it. Yeah, you did it. And when you had questions, you got help. I watched you go through this whole process, so I know that you did not give up. I mean, that's the bottom line. You just didn't give up. And those are the obstacles that I was talking about earlier, that self-rejection kind of talk that we can give ourselves. We're not good enough, da 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 da. And if we can jump over that, you know, leapfrog over it, basically, and just jump into the next thing, it's most important. Yeah. So what about, how about anybody else? Bruce, are you going to say something? You look like
sure. Thank you. It's a great question, and a couple of things came up quickly. One was that I identified an area or two that really excited me, I'd gone through a career transition, and was at an age where I had a lot of colleagues retiring. Mm-hmm. And the idea of a rewarding transition, a thoughtful transition, excited me. I wanted to be a part of that with people. And then it got shrunk that to a mm-hmm. market.
Exactly.
So that it was not a nonprofit execs who were ending a career.
So you had a pretty clear vision. And you looked for the passion, what you'd be excited about, what would give you meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I think we have to do it that way, because especially if we've had, if I mean, all of us have had careers. Sandy, I'm not sure how old you are, but we've all had careers, and now we're looking at embarking on a new career or continuing with coaching and flourishing in a different way, whatever that might be. But we have to have passion for it. And there's a lot of, I'm going to say that phrase again, a lot of nihilistic depression that's going on in the world these days. And I'm, you know, I went, as many of you know, I went back to school last year to Michigan. I was going back and forth and studying the intersectionalities between climate change, gender, and ageism. Because those are the three subject matters that I was really interested in. And I kept thinking, those are the ones that seem to be up. What do they have in common? How can I move forward with them? How can I create a program here at the school around it? And I was passionate about it. I'd go into classes and I was just like, you know, I was like their great grandmothers, but I was really passionate about learning and wanting to know what the next steps would be. And what basically I got was coaching. You know, we have to help people move forward and adapt to the changes that are happening and integrate them into their lives. And in order to do that, we've got to do it for ourselves, so that we have to have that passion, that, you know, the chi, you know, prana has to be like surging through our bodies. And when we're experiencing a nihilistic depression, it just doesn't happen. So how can we get ourselves into a fighting mode, you know, how can we rise up to the occasion and flourish and thrive, not survive, but thrive, and help our clients do the same thing? I think that that's the question that we need to answer every day to ourselves, because it's going to be a different answer each day. Yeah. Okay. We have 10 minutes. What's happening with everybody? Something that Bruce also said was, I can't remember how you said it, Bruce, but that you narrowed it down. And I think that that's also an important piece. You don't have to have a specialty necessarily, but to narrow down. You know, what would I call him? A teacher that I never knew or have never known is Seth Godin. I listened to his podcast, Akimbo, and I recommend that everybody do that. It's definitely for entrepreneurs. And he often will say the importance of just taking this much of the population, not this much, but just this much, and seeing where you can go with it, and servicing those people, and, you know, encouraging them and inspiring them and coaching them into helping them realize their dreams, helping them realize a lifestyle, a livelihood that they want. And so I highly recommend Akimbo, A-K-I-M-B-O. It's a podcast. If you have Alexa or Siri, what you need to say is go, Alexa, play Akimbo, a podcast by Seth Godin. Otherwise, she'll give you a Kimbo from a different country. Just saying. These little tidbits. Okay. Anything else? I'm going to be starting. I'll just keep talking until somebody raises their hand. I'm going to be teaching stretch. I've taken it over from Kristen Moody. And Kristen took a full-time job at Morehouse College, which is an all-Black college in Georgia. And she took it about, I think it's been a year. And slowly she's been, you know, warning me and Mac that she was going to have to take off. And so I'm going to be teaching stretch, which is one of my original classes. And I'm really excited about doing that. So that's going to be happening. It's not on the calendar yet, but it will be hopefully tomorrow. We're supposed to be putting finishing up the whole 2024 calendar. And business alchemy is going to be taught by Yael, who is, she's like, it's hard to say no to that woman. She gets so excited and passionate. Has anybody had a class with Yael yet? Yeah. She's like, she's got this firm, direct voice. And I don't know, Matt, no, you don't think so? I saw your eyes go like this.
I've been in class with her. And yes, you're right. I have not taken a class from her. But yeah, definitely.
That's body her. Electric with her when I was teaching body electric. Were you in that one with
me? I was with you on that one.
Yeah, and Rachel was too. And yeah. Yael was in that class also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So all of our teachers have gone through our program at the school. So they all know the classes pretty well. And Mac Dryden, who's the director of the school, who also happens to be my son, is teaching a level 2 class. This is going to start, it's the first time, it'll be February 20th, on dreams, synchronicity, and intuition. Not necessarily in that order. I think it's dreams, intuition, and synchronicity. And it'll be a part of the level 2 program, but there's no prerequisite, so you can just take it as a one-off class too. Come on, just let's, how can we change the world so that it's kinder and fun? I remember when it was fun. Yeah. Mickey.
Okay, so I am like as almost brand new to this as brand new can be.
Okay.
Where are good spots to go to people who maybe don't really know what coaching is, but just say like, do you have a population of people that you can like give me? Like, I know you said call people up, but like in your local community, are there organizations or are there like pools of population availability that would be, that you could go offer your services just to get practice hours?
Sure. I did a lot of pro bono. I'm glad you brought that up. I did a lot of pro bono. I went to the schools here in Santa Fe, Nava Elementary, Capitol High School, until there was a stabbing and I decided I didn't want to go there anymore. Oh. But I did a lot of pro bono work. And in your coaching client hours, you can do, is it 25%, Matt? Help me with this.
25 hours out of the 100.
Yes, it's 25%. And so if it's out of the 500, it's what, 125, I think.
It may only be 50 on the 500. I think it's only 10%, I think.
Is it? Okay.
That's a lower percentage.
Okay. So, but that's how you can get a lot of also clients. Because when you do pro bono work, I did pro bono work with board of directors here in Santa Fe, different schools, different nonprofits. And I ended up, I mean, I did it in an altruistic way, but I ended up having pretty dynamite clients, like from the Los Alamos, from the labs. And it was really helpful. So that was
like, how would you approach them? Like,
I would just call and say, I'm a student at the Mindfulness Coaching School. And I'm in an internship, I'm taking classes, but I'm also in an internship and I have to have practice hours. So it's very similar to psychotherapy. You know, mm-hmm. You have to have a lot of psychotherapy hours. I mean, God, I can't remember. That's one of the reasons why I'm never going to let go of my licensure, because it takes so long to get it. Yeah. And, you know, now I have like 2,500 hours of coaching clients. That's how I got my MCC. So basically, you just tell them what you need and what you can offer. So I'm at a school, I'm a student, I need to have a lot of practice. So I'd like to do pro bono work. You could do groups if you want. You can also do, one-on-one. Schools, libraries, you could take, you know, the staff at public libraries, county libraries. Nonprofits love coaches because typically they don't have a lot of money for that category. Teresa's nodding her head. Anything else before we end?
I have a question.
Sure.
So I don't have any coaching credential at all. I was just perusing the website. I see there's a level one and level two. Could I get started with coaching with just the level one certification?
Absolutely. In fact, at the school, we're going to encourage you with when you take that first class, we're going to encourage you to start coaching immediately. So, and let your clients know that, you know, you're new, you're a newbie. And I mean, what I did was I would even say things like, you know what, I could have done that better. Can we you know, rewind that? And then we would go something, you know, we would do another thing. But yeah, you can definitely get coaching as soon as you take your first class with us. And those coaching hours count towards your 100 hours or your 500 hours, whichever credential you're going for. Yeah, that's a good question.
Could I say something here?
Of course.
You asked earlier, what's probably the number one thing that we've done to grow ourselves as coaches, yeah, or, you know, towards our business. For me, it would have been nice to have coached more early on. I was very resistant. I had that perfectionist streak in me. It may not be gone, but but I have that that tendency. And for me, the coaching that I have done, the 100 hours I already have in, that elevated me so much in my confidence and my abilities and the feedback, being, you know, willing to learn and change, not just get it in my head, you know, from the learning mm-hmm. perspective, but actually to do the coaching. That for me was very, very, very critical. And as you're asking for ideas on where to get coaching hours, I joined the ICF about 6-8 months ago, and mm-hmm. I got involved with their ICF peer coaching program. So I get to peer reciprocal coach with people from around the world. Right now I'm coaching somebody in Toronto and I'm being coached by someone in Rome. And I get to see those different styles that you're talking about,
right,
Anne-Marie, and it's beautiful. And it really has helped me. I've even gotten testimonials that I can put on my website now because of people that I've coached. Mm-hmm. So I've really enjoyed reaching out through the ICF peer coaching program.
Good, good. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And because it's I think it's vital. The earlier you start coaching, the better. And just know you're gonna do some missteps and you just do it, but you're gonna get the confidence going. And the more confidence you have, the better, the more stellar of a coach you're gonna be, especially if you're confident in a humble way. Yeah. So thank you everybody for being here. I'm gonna stay a little bit longer. If I'm gonna stop the recording right now, but I want to just, I'll stay a little bit longer to answer more questions if you have any questions. But yeah, why coaching? And you can ask yourself that question every single day. Why am I coaching today? And every day you're going to get a different answer. And how can I develop my coaching business? And every day you're going to get a different answer. But follow through with the answers. Deep bow to each of you. Thanks for coming. And happy holidays.